Pastor Ray Bentley has words of encouragement today from Joshua.
I say to every single one of you, you have a role to play that no other human being can fulfill. If you don't fulfill your life's calling and use your gifts, nobody else will be able to do it for you. They have to do their part. And so we must put our foot down and claim God's promises.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. If we could somehow view God's plan for humanity as one would view a jigsaw puzzle, we'd see that our piece of the puzzle is shaped like no other. It's shaped like us. And when a jigsaw puzzle is missing a piece, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? Today, we'll see how to help complete that picture.
Okay, let's open our Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. They're ready now for the very first time in some 500 years to cross the Jordan River and actually go in and possess and take the land that God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So beginning in verse 1, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, or Yahweh, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. So as we begin Joshua here, the book of Joshua, we're beginning the second division of the Old Testament, which are a series of books called the Books of History. And as I've mentioned, this is the first book in the Bible that's named after a person. So we have Genesis all the way through Exodus, the story of creation all the way through the wilderness and the deliverance from Egypt and slavery. But now as they move into the promised land, for the first time, God takes a book and this season of the history of God's redemptive plan on the earth, and he personalizes it. I believe, therefore, that Joshua is a very personal word for you and for me to listen to, and there's going to be some practical handles that we need to take hold of and to apply for our lives for the times in which we live. So the first life lesson, God's commission, as he gives it now to Joshua, the new servant of the Lord, and God's commission to this generation. Because we're not just studying, you know, history in the past. But God's word is living and alive today. What does he have to say to us today? So when we were in the book of Deuteronomy, you know, the backdrop was kind of an old world map, you know, traveling around through the wilderness. But this one is a modern version. And God has new territory, new land, new ground that he is calling us into in this new year for us to take possession of. So God's commission to this generation is take it all. Take it all. I want you to write down and think about take it all. God's saying, here's the land, here's the promised land. Go in, have fun. But what he's really saying is, he gives specific borders with rivers, Euphrates, seas, the Western Sea, the northern mountains of Lebanon, and all the way to the south. And what God is saying is, this is the land I promised. You are now the first generation to go in and possess it, and I want you to take it, and I want you to take all of it. Now, if you know the story of the children of Israel, if you've ever read through the story, I'll just ask you the question. Did Israel take all the land that God had given and promised them? No, they did not. And because they didn't take it, and by the way, we're going to, and we'll explain as we go through the story, there's an interesting situation. This is not just, you know, it's kind of virgin land and territory that they just go in and are the first ones. There's people there that are now being dispossessed. And there's a reason for that. God actually had given the Canaanites a time period, And he had warned them and he had told them to repent of their ways and of their gods. But what had happened is the gods that they worshiped and the idols that multiplied in them, and by the way, God gave them 400 years. Kind of you take the 400 years the children of Israel were slaves, the Canaanites, they had everything, but they followed idols. And the Bible tells us behind idols are demons. And a big part of the story of Joshua that unless you know the Lord and unless you have the Holy Spirit, that you cannot really figure out and fathom or understand is that behind the natural scene happening on the earth is a spiritual, supernatural battle. And that there were demonic strongholds that were literally devouring and destroying generations. And of course, always the weakest and the elderly and the poor and the children were suffering. And finally, their cry came before the throne of God in heaven, and there was a line set by God, and he said, that's it. And he's driving the demons out, and he's bringing his people there to set a new pattern, a new paradigm of a people who will know God and come under his wings of protection and blessing. And by the way, we'll find Canaanites who become believers in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob along the way. So that's part of what is happening and what's going on behind the scenes. And Moses, you know, God is saying, Moses is dead, but the march must continue. And so God wants to bring us in. Now, because the children of Israel did not take all of the land, and why didn't they take all of the land? We'll find out, because there were places where, oh, that's, you know, this one was kind of easy, but that one's kind of tough. We'll just let the enemy have it. And so the enemy fortified and strengthened. What happened over a long period of time is that because they didn't drive out all of the inhabitants and demonic strongholds, they got stronger. And over time, because Israel compromised, they began to be weaker. And eventually, that demonic stronghold took over Israel so that Israel was worshiping the very same gods and demons that the Canaanites had. And God thrust Israel out of the promised land and sent them to Babylon and said, if you want to worship idols and demons, go to the capital of idolatry in Babylon for 70 years. But not here, not in my face, not on my land. So what is the application for you and me? The enemy always wants to hold on to an area of your life, mentally, emotionally, whatever ground he can get. And he, you know, he has to give up. You know, if you get saved, you're saved, and the Holy Spirit's in you, and you're forgiven, you're going to heaven. But salvation is just the beginning. It's like crossing the Jordan River. God has a lot more that he wants to replace and renew. The old you fading away, the new you being grown into your character in Christ. But the enemy will resist, and he has strongholds in our lives. And if we do not confront and take all that God has given to us, we can grow weaker, and the enemy can grow stronger. There's a man named David Livingstone. Probably a lot of you have heard of him. No doubt there are some of you that never heard of David Livingstone. Here's what you need to know about him. Of course, he lived in the 1800s. He was from Great Britain. The first thing to know about him is he was a passionate lover and follower of Jesus Christ. And during that period in the 1800s, England had a great fascination and love with Africa. And it was in those days that, you know, they would go and they were exploring the mountains and rivers and the tribes and the peoples and all of that. And David Livingstone, he was a missionary at heart, and he saw that they were in bondage. He saw that in many ways they were being mistreated and they were being used and abused and that they were slaves. And he had this burning passion in his heart to destroy slavery in Africa. For 30 years, he labored and he pushed his way through the jungles over 30,000 miles to give Christ to the people, and his exploration that he raised money for to support him was he wanted to discover the source of the Nile. He felt that if he could discover the source of the Nile in Africa, it would change the whole economic structure of the continent, that they could take advantage of the resources and they could raise up to a whole new level. In many ways, as God had blessed Christian England at that time. But as you go through the life, and I've read several biographies on David Livingstone, here's what's interesting about him. He never discovered the source of the Nile. And he himself never was able to free the slaves. Others came later to discover the source of the Nile, and others came later to free the slaves. But when this man died, because the people in England would get the stories and the letters and finally all the articles, and they were fascinated with this explorer and this Christian and this man that's wanting with all this passionate work, when he died, his testimony so touched the hearts of his countrymen that then many Christians within Britain came alongside and they determined to finish his work and free the slaves. The reason that I mention this is while he had a vision that burned within his heart, in his lifetime he never fully realized what he desired. It took others who were, though, inspired through him. So with Moses. Moses is the guy who delivered them after 400 years of slavery in Egypt, and they broke free with signs and wonders, and then through the wilderness with miracles, bread from heaven, water flowing out of a rock. But Moses was not able to actually bring them in or to deliver. But know this, God's plans will move forward. Though Moses died, God has a new man to take the vision to the next level and to bring it to fruition. What I want to say this is that we've had a generation that has gone before us. Many call it the greatest generation. But listen, God is now wanting to speak to this generation, our generation. We who are here and now, many of the things that our parents and grandparents desired and dreamed of, we have been given resources, we've been given gifts, we've been given an opportunity to move forward. And as believers, we need to take everything that God has promised to his children. Can I hear an amen on that? Everything that he has promised. So now, look at me in verses 3-5. So God is now instructing his new man. So I'm going to say you here are the new man, the new woman for this generation. And God says to Joshua, verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. I want you to note this. This is our second, life lesson we can pull out of this. We, therefore, must put our foot down and claim God's promises. God has promises for your personal, spiritual life. God has a calling upon you. God has given you unique gifts. And by the way, I say to every single one of you, you have a role to play in your life on earth that no other human being can fulfill. If you don't fulfill your life's calling and use your gifts and fulfill your purpose, nobody else will be able to do it for you. They have to do their part. Every one of us has a part to play. We have a role to fulfill. And so we need to literally put our foot down. So even as Moses kind of represents the law, which was never able to deliver them in, Joshua now represents Jesus Christ. And Christ alone can lead us into the inheritance that is ours. So read with me Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9. Let's read this out loud. Salvation is not a reward for the good we have done, so none of us can take any credit for it. We don't inherit all these things because we're good or because we earn it. It's always by his amazing grace. And Joshua was given a threefold task to perform. And I want you to know that God gave him three special promises, one promise per task. Number one, God told him to cross the Jordan River. And that may not sound like a big thing to you, but in Joshua's day, it was a really big deal. Why? Because once you put your foot, the first guy to put his foot on the other side of the Jordan, you are in enemy territory, and you have enemies from there all the way to the Mediterranean Ocean that are going to be coming for you and to get rid of you and to resist you. So crossing the Jordan is kind of like us identifying with Christ, getting saved, and then when we get baptized, we're identified with Christ. And that may not be a big thing in the world when someone becomes a Christian, but in the spiritual realm, it's a very big deal. And you better believe that every demon knows when someone walks forward in a local church and gives their life to Jesus Christ. You're known. and they see it. And now a battle ensues and a resistance will begin. And we need to know that God is with us as we cross our Jordan to fulfill his promise for us personally, the promise he has for our marriage, the promise that he has for us for our children, and each way as we move forward. Number two, claim the land. It's one thing to fight the enemy and drive him out. It's another thing to actually begin building. Now that you have the land, you have to build a home. You have to start giving structure to a community. You have to have schools. You have to learn how to live and build a community. And then number three, the ultimate defeat of the enemy. The Lord gave a promise, I'll be with you. And God would take them over the Jordan and into enemy territory. He would enable them to be able to claim the land that he had promised. And they were not to be afraid, as the former generation had been, and just spin in circles for 40 years. So God had given them the land. God gives us promises, but it's our responsibility to step out by faith and claim the promises of God. Amen? So the lesson for us, and I put this in your notes, the lesson for us is clear. God has given us all spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings are the promises of God in the Bible. And God's given us every, not a lot, not many, but all spiritual blessings in Christ. That's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. But we have to step out in faith and claim them. And we have to claim them for ourselves. God has set before the church an open door. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 8, but we have to walk through the door and claim the new territory from the Lord. So every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. So we're going to learn in the book of Joshua, what does that mean to put my foot on that? So you've got to put your foot down. Let's go to the next one, and we'll read verses 4 and 5. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. So God maps it out for them. And then he says in verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, Joshua, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. And here's what we learn here. God promised victory over the enemy, and the secret of which is God's presence. Joshua, the reason you're going to go and you're going to be successful, because Joshua probably compared himself to Moses. Yeah, God, sure, we got delivered from Pharaoh, but we had Moses. Sure, we went through the wilderness with signs and wonders. That's because we had Moses. Sure, we had opposition and obstacles and battles that we had to go through, but man, your glory was there, and Moses talked to you face to face. Now, it's just little old me. And the problem, the danger that Joshua faced was comparing himself to his mentor, comparing himself to one who was before him, one that was in his eyes greater and more spiritual and more supernatural and more powerful. But Joshua's estimation is wrong, because the comparison is not between Joshua and Moses, but it's the God who was with Moses is the same God who will be with Joshua. And what we need to learn is the God that was with former generations, with great mighty moves of God, is the same God who is with us. And it's his presence that makes the difference, not us. Not our abilities, not our spirituality, not our cool new plans, or whatever that may be. But it truly is the presence of God. Imagine, this is a tremendously challenging and anxious time for Joshua. And what God is now doing, in order for Joshua to be successful, listen, God has to reveal to Joshua his new identity. His old identity was a faithful servant alongside the great, mighty Moses. But now Moses is dead. And God says, if Moses, my servant, is dead, Josh, it's you. I am with you. But in order for Joshua to be successful, he needed to know who he was. All right? And so I want you to look at this one. This is our next life lesson. Occupying our true identity in Christ Jesus. So hold your finger in Joshua chapter 1 and go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, let's read verses 4 through 6. Here's what Paul, because Paul is giving us our identity. He says in verse 4, Ephesians 2 verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Messiah Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Now that's powerful. What Paul is saying is you have a brand new identity. And the identity is that you're in Christ. So wherever Christ is, that's where you are. That's what, in Exodus chapter 7, verse 1, what God revealed and told Moses about how to go back to Pharaoh. He said, "See, I have made you as God to Pharaoh." Now, God is God. But God is saying, "Son, you're going to say whatever I tell you to say. So it's my words, but it's going to be your mouth. And as far as Pharaoh's concerned, he thought he was a god. You're going to show him what God's really like. And you're going to knock him out and break the back of this demonic slavery stronghold, and my people will be delivered and they will be set free. Now, as I was with Moses, Joshua, so I will be with you." God had to reveal to Joshua his new identity, his true identity. But in order to do that, Moses had to go higher, Joshua had to go higher, and guess what? You and I need to go higher. We need to go up the mountain. We need to know who we are and that we're seated in Christ in heavenly places. And when you dwell there and when you spend time there and when you acclimate to being in heaven and the third heaven, then all of a sudden the glory and the presence of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit and love and joy and peace and the angels and the presence of God and the glory of God and the authority of God, and then you come back down, you will see the second heaven begin moving and shifting and shaking and bowing, as it were, to the power and authority of God's will on the earth. So that's part of what Joshua is going to be about, is God's going to take us and show us our true identity.
Pastor Ray Bentley, showing us the practical application we can expect as we continue working our way verse by verse through the book of Joshua. Glad you're along here on Maranatha Radio. Now, today's broadcast is available on CD for just $7. Get in touch and ask for the message called Make Your Claim. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Joshua on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're so pleased to make available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. I think many Christians read through the mentions of the Jewish feasts in the Bible in the same way they read those long lists of begats. You know, they just skim through them. Well, the feasts are a part of Jewish history and tradition that have little or nothing to do with New Testament Christianity, or so they say. But you say otherwise in this book, don't you?
Well, yes. This is something, it's not unique just to us, but it's something literally happening around the world. The church is starting to relook at the feasts of the Lord. And we've done a good job at looking at the feasts of the first coming from Passover to Pentecost. But now the church is awakening that there's three more feasts in the fall, from trumpets to tabernacles, that point to the return of Jesus Christ. And they're not called the feasts of the Jews, though they were originally. They're called the feasts of the Lord. Hmm. And so all seven, Dave, point to and are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So these feasts are for us, and I think it's time to take a fresh look at their meaning and their purpose.
All right, and I know you do that in your book, The Holy Land Key. And there's even more to help us understand the times in which we live. The Holy Land Key is available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. Write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Joshua. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.